blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 325, the first three stanzas. Teach me, O Lord, and thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 325.
Scripture reading for this afternoon you can find recorded in Deuteronomy 18. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Deuteronomy 18. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder, and the two cheeks, and the maw. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven, God of the earth, we have so little right impression when we try to draw nigh to thee of thy greatness and of thy majesty and of thy worthiness for all honor and for all worship. For we are of the earth, earthy, and men do take in these days their cameras even into the skies and into the space, into the heavens, into the planets, that they may see something of what is about us, thy great creation. But we cannot enter into that third heaven. Then there is no camera that is able to take pictures there. And we may see that picture that is drawn out for us in thy holy word. When we may read that there they do prostrate themselves before thee, crying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And then we can only by a true and saving faith receive the right place at thy footstool. Otherwise, we are too high. Otherwise, we lift up ourselves. Oh, that thou may give to us that new birth, that we may come to know ourselves in the light of who that thou art, that we might come to see what thou commandest us in thy holy law, how righteously and how high we were created, and how wickedly and that we have sinned against thee, and how low that we have fallen, so that there is nothing left of that image in that narrow sense. Only the sparks and that wider sense of thy image, O Lord, give us to be ashamed. Show to us that it is our own wretchedness and our own fault, but that there may also be a desire raised up in our hearts that we may return again. For thou wilt receive as such unto thyself who do turn from their transgressions in Jacob. Oh, that thou wouldst give us to do so in truth and in uprightness, and that we may receive that heartfelt godly sorrow, and that we may be brought to turn away from our deadness and carnality and emptiness and vanity and seeking all here below as if it lasts forever and ending in all the works of our own hands, that we may receive spiritual life, an eye that looks to spiritual things, that desires the God of heaven and of earth, and that may look to the end of the creation, but especially to the end of the redemption by thy dear Son, that we may desire thy glory, that we may be desire to be included also in that glory, that we may be restored again to our original purpose. O Lord, convert us unto Thee, and both young and old, Thou knowest the time that we have entered, even in the midst of this world, in the midst of the place where we do live. Then we may acknowledge Thee, that in an outward way, there is still a little recognition that it is still spoken of a Christmas, and that sometimes we may even hear Thy own name. But Lord, Thou knowest what Satan does with everything that he would destroy all the work of Thy hands. And so men do seek after all the glitter and all the riches and all the gifts of this world in this time. Oh, that may be a temptation. It may be so for our children and for our youth, when they may see that superficial joy of this world that means nothing and that ends in disappointment. Oh, that Thou mayst show to them the treasures which Thou hast laid away for Thy people. Oh, show unto us all together that gift of God that Thou didst send into the world, that we may desire Him, or that we might need Him, and that we may see our own sin and the impossibility, and that we may see, and by the revelation of Thy dear Son in us, as it was in Thy servant Saul of Tarsus, long ago, and Thou didst make him a Paul, or Thou didst show unto him Thyself. Lord, remember us too, for Thou art still the same, yesterday, today, and forever, and we remain the same too, unless Thou wilt convert us. Oh, then it becomes different, and then we become a new man. Oh, then we will enter a warfare with sin, and with Satan, and with the devil, and with all the world. And then we will say, "Begone, world." And then we will say, "Begone, vanity." And then it shall become a burden unto us. And then our longings will go out to Thee. O Lord, will it not be to Thy glory and to Thy honor when sinful men, and they may be turned from their wickedness, and when we may be brought to begin that little part here in this world already to magnify and glorify Thee for the grace that Thou dost show unto all Thy saints, and that is in Thy dear and beloved only begotten Son. Oh, Thou sayest that in Him I am well pleased. Show it to us too, Lord, how well pleasing that He is. Oh, open unto us the blessed mysteries, oh, that Thou mayst show to us all that He has done, and that we may be humbled in the dust before Thee, and that we may see a little of Thy glory, and that we may be included in magnifying Thee. Oh, then it will be Thy kingdom come, and Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it will live in our heart. Come, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what He has done unto my soul. O Lord, then one shall be drawn, and many shall run after Thee. Turn us then, Lord, and we shall be turned. Save us, and we shall be saved. To whom else shall we go, Lord? It is all a coming from Thee. Thou hast the words of eternal life. O, draw us with them then. Show to us and that there is one thing that is needful. Open the beauty, open the preciousness, open the suitability of the salvation of Thy dear Son. Oh, lead Thy people further into those blessed mysteries, the fulfillment of Thy counsel and the fulfillment of Thy justice, that they may be given also to experience, and that it is all paid. Oh, that also they are delivered from all their iniquities. Oh, that they may feel as something of that freedom to go out of that court having been forgiven, having been pronounced clean, acquitted, from all their iniquities. Oh, Lord, there is one thing we need to know between the cradle and the grave. Give us to seek it then with our whole heart, for it is to be found by those who seek it, as thou dost promise it unto us. Oh, work, Lord, then, with might and with power. Remember those who have become old. So many times they have heard thy word. So many times they have read thy word. And now so many times they can be so despondent. Lord, thou knowest them where that they are. Oh, give them a little hope, even in old age, that they may fold their hands, even when they are not able anymore to bow their knees. Oh, then wilt thou bow the knees of their hearts. Oh, show unto them the iniquity of their whole life, Lord, and wilt thou show to them the great grace. Oh, wide is the ocean of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, thou dost say, open thy mouth, and I will fill it. Open it wide, for there are great graces to be received from thee. Remember them then, and those that are sick, those that are afflicted, the children that have been born, the difficulties of some, give supply from above in all the needs and cares of this life. And when there are those that suffer from the needs of the mind, wilt thou care for them also? Those that suffer from addictions, those that are confused, Lord, thou knowest all the needs, for our bodies are made by thee, and thou art that great physician, both of body and soul together. And it all breaks down, and it all shows to us that we have no more and no continuing city here below, or that we may learn then to hasten for our life's sake. And when the younger generation is given by thee in the midst of us, oh, remember them too, with all those that try to instruct them, their own father and mother, and the teachers at school, catechism instructors. Lord, then there are labors that are done upon the souls of our youth, souls conceived and born in sin, young people thinking that this life has much to offer when it has nothing to offer, thinking that this life shall be long when it is short. Oh, deceived by the devil from the very moments of birth. But Lord, thou art stronger than the devil. Oh, that thou may work in, with power in the hearts of our children and our youth, and that thou may take us all by heart and by hand. Oh, instruct us out of thy holy truth, and look upon all thy servants, increase their number. Instruct also that we may receive from thee that blessed instruction of thy Spirit, that we may know how to lead thy flock, and that thou may bless and the labors of our hands also as a consistory. Do forgive, take away all of our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste, an exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be. In which no waters be. 164 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Beloved congregation, today we enter, according to the calendar of the church, into the time of Advent. What is Advent? That is, as we commonly use the word in our language, that is speaking about something which is approaching, something that is coming, as it were, into view. We begin to see it. It is coming into being. Of course, in the church, that is referring to the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Advent that is very intimately connected with prophecy. That is, with the promise of the Lord. And prophecy and the promise that is very intimately connected to hope, expectation, looking forward, desiring, waiting. 4,000 years the church waited. That is a long time. The Lord exercises His people in waiting. And He also distinguishes His church in the time of waiting. You know the Pilgrim's Progress, right, children? Then there were two that came out of the city of destruction, both Christian and Pliable. And Pliable returned to that city of destruction upon the first discouragement. Then he said to Christian, "Is this now what you have been speaking about? Where are we now?" Oh, was Christian discouraged? He was discouraged too. Certainly. A slew of despond, as often in the life of that people. But we read that he struggled to get out of that slough on the side that was furthest away from his own house. Go back? No. And so temporary faith was distinguished by John Bunyan from true saving faith. Temporary faith exposed that it was not true faith. It was 20 years between Bethel and Peniel. And Abraham waited 25 years for a promise of that Lord, of the Lord to be fulfilled. In his own time, the Lord fulfills his own promise. We are in a hurry. The Lord is not in a hurry. The Lord does it wisely. He does it for His own glory, but there is no uncertainty that that promise of the Lord is going to be fulfilled. And the hope and the expectation of the church is also going to be fulfilled, because the Lord says that they shall not be ashamed that wait for Me. Our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, Deuteronomy 18, thereof the 15th verse, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto Me, unto him ye shall hearken. So far the words of our text. The promise of a prophet. Three thoughts. First, from whom this promise comes. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee. Second, of whom this promise speaks. a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, of whom this promise speaks. And third, who this promise obliges, unto him ye shall hearken. That's the promise of a prophet from whom this promise comes, of whom this promise speaks, and who this promise obliges. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Who says that? That is Moses. And he is speaking unto the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, that has been separated by the Lord from all the nations of this world. They are his own people. A prophet. A prophet. What is a prophet? That is a man who is sent by God. And he is sent by God for a purpose. What is that purpose? That he may speak to men the words of God. So God desires to commune with men. Is that not a wonder? God desires to tell a man what is living in his holy mind, in his holy being, in his holy heart, as it were. The Lord desires to tell this unto men, to communicate this. And for this, he uses a prophet. It is a great wonder that the Lord would desire to speak unto men. Do you know what else is a great wonder? That man is able to receive communications from God. Is that not a great wonder? That is, congregation, what one of the things that distinguishes us from the brute beasts, who cannot receive these communications, these divine communications from God. Thus, the height at which man was created, very, very high. That image of God, even in that wider sense, that God was able to commune with a man, to tell him his thoughts, and that man may commune with God. You ever think about that, young people? You ever give that just a little bit of thought, what that means? When you are going over the world, maybe sometimes when you are all by yourself and you are out in the world, you are driving in your car, and you look over the fields, and you see the sky, and you see the whole creation, the mountains, the foothills, you see the cattle in the fields. Or do you ever say in your heart, who is God? Who is the Lord? Do you ever ask, cry in your heart, and say, O Lord, that I might know who that thou art? Is that not a wonder that God has created us in such a way? Do you ever say to yourself, oh, I am no better than all the brute beasts. Why? Because I have not God. Oh, I am worse than the beasts. If I was just a beast and I would die, then death, dead is dead. But now I have to appear and I have to come before and give an answer unto God. Oh, does that ever live in your heart? Because the Lord, young people, is often working in the days of our youth, while that we are young, to plant the love of God in the heart of his elect. Oh, does the love of God ever burn in your heart? What a wonder that the Lord desires to speak unto men. What a wonder that the Lord desires to speak unto men after the fall. After the fall. After we have rejected Him. After we have said we will not have Him to reign over us. After that we have chosen Satan, and still, in such a fallen world, to such a fallen people, the Lord sends prophets. The Lord sends His holy word. Thus a prophet is a great blessing. Thus a prophet is a great privilege. That was especially so in the Old Testament. Why? Because in the Old Testament they did not have the word of God. What would that be, boys and girls? When you get up in the morning, then you open the word of God by your bed, right? And you may read that word of God. Even before that you hear the voice of a man in the world, your teacher, your parents, all do you say, let me first, I want to know what the Lord says. Is that precious to you? The word of God. And the Old Testament, they did not have that. Like we may have it. Thus we ought to value, we ought to cherish that word of God. What did they have in the Old Testament? Well, they had prophets. Prophets. They were sent by God to speak unto men that word of God. We read the Lord, He put those words into their mouth. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. That is a promise. What do you think about that promise? Because what does a prophet do? He teaches us about God. Thus, what do we think about a promise? The promise of a man that may teach us of God. Satan said to Eve, "Ye shall be as gods." And that is now what we fell to. Then we wanted ourselves to be as God. Then we thought we were better and that we knew better than God. And so it is still today. Oh, then we think that we know it better than what God knows. We do not need Him. We do not want to be instructed by Him. And we have no desire to be instructed about Him. And if His commandments, they are against our desires, what we want, well, then we do not receive them. You know what Isaiah says? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, that are unteachable and that will not receive the word of God, when He is sending unto men prophets, instruction from Him about Him. Thus a promise. What do we think of that promise? Because there is a people in the world for whom this promise is very, very precious. Very precious. What kind of people would they be? You like to go to school, children? You say, that is a lot of work. I hope you do your best. But who wants a teacher? Who desires a teacher? Well, someone who says, I don't know. Someone who says, I am ignorant. And I like to know, I want to know, then I desire a teacher. And if you want to know all the things about this world, then your teachers, they will also teach you about all the things that you need to know in this world. But do you want to know something else? Do your desires go above this world? Or is all that is living in your heart all carnal? Never go upward. Oh, I think sometimes it goes upward. At least your thoughts do. Because we are taught and we are instructed. But is there now ever a desire? A a desire in our heart that we might know, and that we might know other things, because this is a promise of a teacher. A prophet is a teacher, and that teacher is a teacher about things which are spiritual. Thus, if our heart desires to know things that are spiritual, then this promise will have for us a great meaning. And that is the work of the Spirit of the Lord, to make a man to desire to know spiritual things. Oh, that I might know God. That I might know God. That ever live in your heart. You say, young people, you go to college, you go to university, many things to learn. Very interesting. Good. Does it ever all fall away? Does it ever all fall away? You drive yourself home, and you are going home, and you say, yes. Those are all interesting things. Now there's something I miss. Something I miss. A knowledge that I miss. Knowledge about God, who He is. You ever feel that? Such desires ever well up in your young soul? Because this prophet that is not speaking about the wisdom of this world. It is speaking about another wisdom. And there is a people for whom that wisdom that is precious. They say, I don't have it. I don't have it. And I wish to have it. I desire to have it. Oh, their spirit longs for spiritual things. Saul of Tarsus, he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. What did it profit him? Oh, it's good to learn, yes. We're never against education. No, it is God's creation. God's creation. Learn about it. Do not receive all that men tell you in this world, young people. When they try to teach you and teach you and teach you many things that are not right. Open your eyes. Read the Bible. The Holy Word of God gives you good direction. But Saul of Tarsus, so many things he knew about religion, Jewish religion. But he did not know God. He did not know God. And he did not know his son. And his son appeared to him. And then he said, who art thou? Who art thou? That question live in your heart. Who art thou, Lord? We can glory in everything that our fathers have given us. Oh, it is a precious truth. The Lord has preserved it in the midst of us, for our children. The congregation, it is possible that we so value it, and yet we do not know it in our own heart. We do not know it in our own heart. And then what profit will it be for us? You know what will it be for us? Then it will testify against us. Oh, let us not lift up ourselves with all that the Lord has given unto us, because that can live so in our heart too. All those people out there, yeah, they are out there. They are ignorant. We are not ignorant. Oh, we have to give an answer for everything that we know. Thus, what is now the kind of knowledge that we desire? I mean the knowledge of God, because all the knowledge of God is good. But it's not all saving. It's not all saving. There is a historical knowledge. And that will not save us. Do you know what we need? We need a knowledge of Him that unites us. That unites us to Him, that we might know Him. That we might know Him. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. A prophet. That is the promise of God Himself. And to whom is a promise precious? Promise is precious to a person who has no power to receive that thing himself. Someone else has the power to give it to me. It is promised to me. If I had the power to take it myself, and I would not need the promiser. I would not need the promise. But those promises, they are very precious to those who are without power to take it. And what is now this promise? This promise is about the knowledge of God. To teach us the knowledge of God. And there is now a people who are not able to help themselves to that knowledge. They have no ability, they say, to know Him. They can study that Word of God. They read that Word of God. They delve into that Word of God. And they still miss it. They still miss it. How old are you? Some of you have become old. You have been sitting under that truth all your life. You have much knowledge. Some of you, you are able to tell me just how the Lord converts His people. And then you will say to me, but I miss it. But I miss it. And how do you say that? Is there an inner grief that you miss it? Because you have had many teachers, ministers, elders, you had catechism, confession class instruction, you have read many books, and still you miss the knowledge you need to know. Always then there's something of a burning in your heart. Because hear the word of God that speaks about a promise of a prophet. You know, we read about that eunuch. That eunuch for the queen of Candace. And he was reading in the prophecies. And Philip is sent to him. He says, do you understand what you read? He says, how can I? How can I? I am so ignorant. How can I accept some man should guide me to tell me what are the mysteries of God that are written in that holy word of God? Oh, and then he asked Philip, he says, will you come? You come and sit with me here. And will you open to me? Will you explain to me that word of God? You ever do that? Do you ever do that? You are reading in the word of God and you say, Lord, I do not understand. Oh, there is a knowledge here. There is something here. Do you ever see that? So sweet, something so precious, but your heart cannot enter into what it is. Is there then ever a cry that goes out to God? Oh, Lord, wilt thou come sit with me?
Wilt thou come sit with me? And wilt thou explain to me and give to me the knowledge that I cannot miss between the cradle and the grave? That desire sometimes live in your heart. Here is now a promise. Philip is not here anymore. Here is now a promise about another teacher. Who is that? That is our second thought. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Why does Moses say that? The Lord had admonished his people against seeking the charmers and the wizards of that nation of Canaan when thou art coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. It is all forbidden to his people. They may not go there. These are the works of the devil. Those Canaanites, they were just like you and me and the Israelites. They were people, fallen people. And in that sense, all of us are just the same. And they are fallen from spiritual life into spiritual death. And you know what those Canaanites knew? That they were not an animal. They knew that. Like all mankind knows that, that he is not an animal. Thus, there is in all men some sense of our fall. They miss something. Did you ever see an animal try to worship an idol? That does not happen. But it happens with men. Men who have never been taught about God. They are out in the bush, and yet they are worshiping something, someone. Thus, those Canaanites too knew that they are not animals. They too knew that there was something missing, but without that special revelation of God, we cannot know exactly what that is. Nor can we know how to return unto him. And so where do they go? To the devil. That is who we made friends with. The necromancers, the wizards. You ever go to such a person? Oh, young people, we hope you are never found in such a place, because that is to seek the devil. And those places are absolutely forbidden by the word of the Lord unto his own people. No charms, young people. Charms. The world uses them. Oh, then that brings to me some kind of good fortune, superstition, devilish. God is the provider for all of mankind. Israel was taught better. And now the Lord, He does not only say you may not go there for instruction. No, He says, I will give you instruction myself. You do not need to go there. Because I will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Now, there are some people who believe that this speaks about prophecy. That is, prophets in general sent unto the children of Israel. That the Lord says, I will provide my prophets out of the midst of you. That is what Israel asked for. We read in the day of the assembly. What was the day of the assembly? Oh, when they were all assembled there at Mount Sinai. And then the people of Israel asked for a prophet from the midst of them. Why? Because the Lord came and spoke to them directly. And they were so afraid of Him. Why? Because they saw Him in His majesty, in His glory. Then there was lightning and there was thundering. Then there was fire. There was smoke coming from that mountain. Oh, then those people, they asked Moses, speak thou to us, and we will hear. But let not the Lord speak unto us, lest we die. That is now what we read here, that the people had asked for it, according to all that thou desiredst of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So the Lord provided prophets from among His own people, for His own people. The prophets, who are they? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, you know them all, right? How many prophets, how many teachers did the Lord give unto His people according to His own word? But that prophecy now does not completely fulfill this promise of the Lord. That the Lord has provided prophets, many prophets, after He spoke to Moses and He said that He will give them of His own people. And yet that cannot be the complete fulfillment of what the Lord has promised here in Deuteronomy unto Moses, or through Moses, unto His own people. But that receives that true fulfillment in Christ Himself. Moses, he says, like unto me. But if you go to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, then we read that there arose not a prophet in Israel like unto Moses. That was when Moses died, that there was no other prophet in all of Israel that was like unto him. Well, like unto, there were many prophets who were also human. There were many prophets who were also sent like unto Moses. There were certain things like unto Moses. But there is none that have received the same preeminence that Moses received until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And Peter, in Acts 3,
And then he is speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and he directly applies this word of God to Christ himself. For Moses, it says, truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. And Peter, he was speaking clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it is unmistakable. Thus the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, he is showing to us the meaning of his own word. And Christ admonished the Jews. He says, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me, a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. And what is now contained in that promise? That is a blessed promise. Do you know what it is? That is a promise of the communication of the thoughts of God unto a people who were not able to stand before him. They felt that. In the judgment, they stood far off. Thus it is a promise of the Lord that he is going to speak unto that people in his gentleness. Gentleness. He is going to send his Son in the flesh. That it will not be in great majesty and in great glory of his divinity, but he is going to humble himself that he may dwell among his people. So the church, they were taught to look. The Lord gave a promise. The people of the Lord were taught to look for the fulfillment of this promise, a prophet from the midst of them that would speak the word of the Lord in about peace, about reconciliation with God, despite and in their guilt and in their filthiness, that is the promise from the Lord himself against whom that they have sinned, then he says, I am not going to deal with you. According to your sin against me. But let us sing. 283, 2 and 3. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him. Boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2 and 3 of 283.
Thank you.
thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. That is our third thought. Who this promise obliges. It is a command of the Lord to his people. Thus the Lord is laying an obligation on his people. The Lord says, now when I will speak unto you in my gentleness, then he admonishes them to hearken. What is that, to hearken? That is to hear. That is to listen. That is to obey. What does the Lord say? He says, I will not come unto you in my felt majesty and in my felt power, my greatness. You cannot bear that. I will come unto you in a gentler way when I give unto you my commandments and when I speak unto you all of my admonishments. I will give them to you by the way of men in the flesh. But then you must hearken. And then especially when I will send unto you my own son. In the flesh, born of a woman, made under the law, from the midst of thee. Then you agree, my people? That's what you asked for, right? Then you agree? Then you will hearken unto him, right? Oh, we hear the Father again in the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Unto him shall ye hearken. So there is an obligation connected unto the promise of the Lord unto his people. To whom does that obligation come? That comes in the first place to the entire visible church. The Lord made that promise in an outward way to the entire nation of the children of Israel when he established that people as a nation, as a theocracy, his own people. And then the Lord fulfilled his promise in the sending forth of his own Son, hiding his divinity behind the veil of his humanity. Why? That he could possibly live in the midst of that people without consuming them by his justice and by his holiness. That is what we will experience in the last day, the Lord Jesus says. And when we will see him, every eye shall see him, and men shall cry to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us, and to hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Oh, do we want the Lord to speak unto us by an angel of the Lord? No. No. Because that will be so very, very fearful for us. And now until that time arrives, that the Lord is coming in his great majesty, he is hiding that majesty at the request of his own people. And he is speaking unto us through his Son, through his word, through his servants. He's not speaking to the whole world, though many have to miss it, and they never hear, children. Think about that, will you, in this time? You see the stores full, maybe. Oh, best to try to avoid that, fathers and mothers. When you see children,
all those other children. And then expectation, this and that, what is coming, Christmas time. Say, we don't have that. No, save that for another time. That is the best. Oh, poor children, right? They never get to hear of what Christmas is all about. Do you ever feel sorry for them? Instead of feeling sorry for yourself, then you may feel sorry for them. And maybe sometimes the Lord gives you a little opportunity to speak also when you're young. Circumstances, to open your mouth once to say, oh, do you know what it is really about? It is really about the gift of God. Oh, we can be a means, boys and girls, in the hands of the Lord, in the circumstances that the Lord is leading us through in our life. Unto him shall ye hearken in his prophetical office, when he is declaring the will of God unto men. And what is that will? What does the Lord Jesus come to tell us? That is to turn away from our sin. To turn away from our sin. And we have asked the congregation that he do not do that in a fearful way. And he has done it in a way of pleading with his people. Pleading with his people. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, to turn away from our sin, to forsake the world and every former friend. To turn again unto him. And then that he is so ready to pardon. Pardon those who turn from transgression in Jacob. Is the Lord not good? Is the Lord not good to such a people as we are? Oh, humbling himself in order to pick a man up out of the pit that he has brought himself into by his own deep fall. Oh, how is it possible that the goodness of the Lord doesn't break our heart? That the goodness of the Lord does not lead us unto a true repentance? We are so ignorant of God. So ignorant of God. Oh, if we may know him, then we know of him just a tiny, tiny little part. Oh, how is it possible that his humility, how he has come so low in order that we might hear, and that this does not bring us to turn again, that this does not draw us unto the Lord and his commandments, unto the salvation that is to be received in his dear and only begotten Son. Unto him ye shall hearken. And that is now where the distinction comes with that invisible church. In hearkening unto his Son. 4,000 years the world lay in ignorance. And then he arrived. And when he arrived, there was a remnant, a small remnant that was waiting. They were waiting for him because of this promise of the Lord. Oh, Simeon began to sing. What did he say? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of my people Israel. A light. You waiting for light too? That is what they waited for. It was so dark. They were so ignorant. The mysteries were so very, very great. All there was, as it were, everything under a cover. and our light, instruction by that great prophet. And now that remains the same today. Oh, the Lord is glorified. When that instruction from that prophet that is received into the heart of the sons of men, of guilty sinners in the extremity of their own case. Because the Lord, He is teaching by revelation, or He is opening unto them Himself and instructing that people who that He is. What does He teach them? Oh, the grace of God to a people who are worthy only to be cast away. Do you know that that cannot be learned by the law? There is nothing of that first covenant of grace. In that first covenant, that broken covenant, there is nothing in that covenant of mercy. It is, do this, and thou shalt live. And do not do it, and you shall die. And now He come to teach them and to show them who God is. And now there is a hearkening unto this Son of Man, when the Lord Himself is appearing unto that people in his true character. And then they begin to see Him as He truly is. As He truly is. There is only one way. Always say, why did that fall have to happen? We never say blessed fall, no. But there is no other way, congregation, to know God, who He truly is, but through that fall, and through the redemption of His only begotten Son. Justice, oh yes, they know that. Oh yes, they feel that. But now to have that opened, the goodness of the Lord, that He was ready to receive the atoning of His own Son, and ready to impute that atonement unto His own people. Oh, yes. Then that people, they hearken. Then their soul hearkens. When the Lord is opening it unto them, oh, then they are prostrate in humility, in wonderment before the Lord. Holiness, oh, yes. Oh, they feel that. That holiness of God. Oh, they cannot dwell in the presence of the Lord. It is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. It is all wretchedness. It is all sinfulness. Oh, but then they can read it. But the Lord said to that leper, oh, He said, I will. Be thou clean. And in one moment their eyes are opened. And then they may see Him. When the Lord is revealing Himself in the cleansing power of His blood. Oh, hearken. Oh, yes, then they hearken. Oh, then their soul hearkens. Then their soul so concurs. Then they say, like Peter said, oh, Lord, and not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Oh, wash me cleaner and whiter than that snow. Then they say with that bride, oh, I am black. Black, 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 but comely. And then they are willing that He may receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, unto Him ye shall hearken. And they do hearken. They do hearken. Oh, the Lord brings His people, every one of them, to hearken unto that Son of Man. It is not so hard. It is not hard at all when the Lord makes His people willing in the day of His own power, when He makes them teachable, when He brings their own pride down into the grave. And then it is not easy, it is not hard to hearken to that new and living way. Then their soul that says, oh Lord, teach me more. Oh, that I might hear more, that I might see more. Oh Lord, increase my faith. Then with Mary, they want to sit at that feet of the Lord Jesus, to hear His words. Then they are drinking
drinking in that instruction of mercy, instruction of free and sovereign grace. Oh, such a suitable instruction to their own incurable case. Oh, then they may confess the goodness of the Lord, the gentleness of the Lord in dealing with them in his only begotten Son. David, he says, thy gentleness hath made me great. O congregation, seek now the instruction. Seek the instruction. Long time ago, that it was said already, Moses, that the Lord has said that I will raise thee up a prophet. Oh, there were people in those times already, the people of the Lord, and their hearts, they were burning for that instruction, looking for the instruction of that prophet. They never saw him, not their whole life. No, it took 4,000 years. And now look at the blessings that we have, and that we may have the fulfillment and all his words in that word of God. Oh, how much do we want to read? How much do we want to hear of the instruction of that great prophet? Oh, then we can only say, Lord, teach me and make me teachable. And then we may confess all our ignorance before the Lord. And we may ask him to teach us who we are and ask him to show us who he is, what is his true character, who he is, not only in his justice, not only in his holiness, but also in his mercy, also in his grace, wide as the ocean. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou give us desires for that spiritual knowledge, because we look for knowledge in this world when we do not know thee, and that we miss it, and though that we had the wisdom of Ahithophel. O Lord, remember us. Forgive and take away our many sins. Help us in the rest of this day, in this week, the instruction in thy house, catechism, confession classes, the instruction in the homes by fathers and mothers, and when they will read, when they will teach their children, the instruction in our own school. Lord, bless it all, and that thou would send us also thy Spirit, that we may receive the instruction of thee as the great teacher, who is able to bring it into our hearts, that it be not only in our heads. Wilt thou forgive and keep us from all sin, accident, from a sudden and an unprepared death. Bless the work of our hands in the home and in our professions, whatever that they may be. Give us to deal honestly with our neighbors, and wilt thou prosper our work, and that we may have wherewith to give unto the poor and also unto all the needs in the midst of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 233, 1, 2, 3, and 6. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear. O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 233, 1, 2, 3, and 6.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.